So, you've recently graduated college, got that first job in the big city, and now face real-world financial difficulties. Rent, utilities, college loans, clothes, maybe a night out for dinner, and savings? All right, forget about savings. You're barely making ends meet as it is, unless you access the genetic ATM, mom and dad. In an opinion piece in Newsweek magazine, Melody Serafino argues that the price of that parental assistance is too high to be fully adult. She writes, to her generation requires financial independence, even if that means sacrifices. Well, we want to hear from you 20-somethings. Do you still get financial support from your folks and parents? Do you still subsidize your kids? When is the right time to cut the parental purse strings? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Melody Serafino joins us from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks, Neil. It's great to be here.
Oh, good. And so this is an opinion you seem to think is, not held widely in your age group.
The opinion that being under your parents' financial is no, that something that you think people...
No, you're feeling that to be adult means financially independent.
That's exactly. I mean, growing up for me, what really signified adulthood was being able to cut the purse strings, be on your own, pay your own rent. And there's, you know, a certain credibility that comes with that, a certain responsibility, of course, and just a feeling of liberation.
A feeling of liberation.
Absolutely. You know, you no longer have to answer to your parents when you don't have to ask them for money.
So
you can make your own decisions.
So if you wanted to move to the Lower East Side and your parents object, so what?
So what? It's your money. What can they really say?
And the other part of that equation, though, is that you describe a lot of people in your generation, a lot of your friends, who do accept money and with it the shopping sprees that you may not have a chance to do.
That's true. But I think everyone can manage to make it work in New York. And yes, maybe you have to cut back on some of the superfluous spending, as I'll call it, in order to sort of scrape by. But isn't there something that comes from that, some feeling of being on your own that is much more rewarding?
There's a discussion going on at Newsweek's website about your column, and a lot of people seem pretty annoyed with you.
I noticed that, but you know what? That's great. I love the reaction. It means people are actually being moved by it.
Nevertheless, you also took advantage of some familial help. You were in a relative's apartment in Tribeca for 3 months when you first got to New York 3 years ago, and, well, that's kind of a handout.
Yes. Well, what happened is I actually got my job about 4 days before I graduated, had to start immediately 2 weeks later, didn't have a chance to find an apartment, and my uncle offered his place for that three-month period, and that's when I saved my money so that the minute I moved out, I was on my own.
And so you also had a bank account, something you could fall back on, and some fluidity, some liquidity, if you will.
Absolutely.
You've also said that you do understand that in a real crisis, your parents are there to back you up.
Yes. I mean, that's something they said to me when I moved to New York. They said, listen, if it ever comes to a point where you need help and it's a crisis, you know, you can come to us. And I said, well, I hope to never let it get to that point. I really want to make this work on my own. And that was 3 years ago, and I haven't gone to them since.
And the source of that decision, you say?
I think it's just the way my parents brought me up. They always brought me up to really budget my money, be conscious about it. I've been saving since I was really young, and now I have that savings to draw on should some sort of crisis come up.
We'd like to get some listeners involved in this conversation, whether you're going to applaud Melody Serafino for her stance that financial independence is the only true sign of adulthood, or if you want to denounce her, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. We also want to hear from those of you who are, 20-somethings, if you will, and from their parents as well. Let's see if we can get Jay on the line, and Jay's with us from Chesapeake in Virginia.
Thank you for taking my call, and I applaud the young lady. The first thing I thought of when you had this topic was the movie about Joan Crawford starring Faye Dunaway, where she did not give Christina one single dime. And believe it or not, Christina was better off for it. And I personally do not have any children, in full disclosure. However, I do live with two gentlemen that, like myself, are single and with no children, but these two gentlemen are constantly asking their parents for this, that, and the other. And I told them, I says, you know, one day, you know, your parents are not going to be there. you're not going to be in a position to take care of yourself. And for those of us that are your friends, we're going to be replacing your parents as far as giving you advice, telling you what to do, and being your safety net. The sooner you learn to fly without a safety net, the better you are. These parents that are doing this to their kids, providing for them, they're just crippling them for life. I listen on the radio.
Well, I was just going to point out, Jay, that in my experience, friends, though they mean very well, are a much less reliable safety net than your parents.
Well, the point that I'm trying to make is that the way that I was raised was I heard, when you're 18, you're out the door. Don't ask us for nothing. And I believe that my parents, even though they might not have been preparing me for the future with those words of advice, they did me a great favor. I have learned to do without the things that I would normally be asking other people to help me with. You just learn to either do it for yourself or you do without those things. And I think you're a better person if you're self-reliant. I just do.
All right, Jay. Thanks very much for the call. And Melody, you're not going to find an argument there.
No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think that's the real problem, is that if your parents are constantly providing for you, when the day comes that for some reason they can't, you're left high and dry and you don't know what to do. And I've seen this problem with my friends where, you know, their parents have cut the purse strings finally 3 years after college, and now they can't afford their rent because they've never budgeted for their rent, and they have to move and they can't live the lifestyle that they've been living the last 3 years.
And that gets progressively more difficult the longer this. Well, I think a lot of people have called it extended adolescence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think it's the only key to being an adult. But for me, certainly, that was one of the main responsibilities of being adult is financial responsibility.
Let's see if we get Sarah on the line. And Sarah's calling us from Des Moines, Iowa.
Hi. I realized that I needed to stop taking money from my parents when I realized that my parents needed to retire soon. I was about 24 years old, and they said, we could pay off your student loans, but we need to retire. So, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Sarah. And that's obviously something everybody's in a different financial situation, but the financial situation your parents are in is something that their kids should take into account.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, in this economy today, we couldn't ask for a better time to learn how to budget money. So why not start now?
The sacrifices that are involved, all right. There's not all that many people, I don't think, who take mom and dad's money and go for a spree at Gucci. But you do describe...
But you'd be surprised.
Well, I might be. But you do describe a friend who said, you know, it would mean the difference between living in Manhattan, which is very expensive, or moving to Brooklyn or Queens, considerably less fashionable, a long ride in the subway if you want to get to work.
Right. And there are some people that just aren't willing to make that sacrifice. And that's fine. If you want to stay in Manhattan, find a way to make it work. I mean, I'm not telling you need to move out of Manhattan, but certainly if you want a certain lifestyle, you should try to achieve it on your own.
Let's get Amber on the line. Amber with us from Monroe in Michigan.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm calling because my sister and I have opposite experiences. I put myself through college with scholarships and whatnot, and my parents completely subsidized her life through college, and it worked out great. I mean, we're both adults, and we both have our own lives now, but it worked out okay for both of us. So I'm not sure that it's a terrible thing. And I'm 29 and she's 24.
I was going to say that you seem to be the older one.
I am.
And there had to have been a moment, maybe just a fleeting moment, of resentment over the difference in the way these two situations played out.
Mostly for me, it was interesting. I have two children, and I was much busier raising my children and trying to maintain my scholarships than to be irritated with my sister, because I needed her to lean on for support.
Well, I wasn't talking about being irritated with your sister so much as your parents.
I'm not sure that it wouldn't have gotten me anywhere. So, and then my sister would not have been as successful as she is. So it just would have brought things down instead of... It would have been a waste of energy on my part.
So no one has suffered on this?
I don't think so. I really don't.
Well, interesting. A win-win situation. Thanks for the call, Amber.
That's interesting. I wonder if that was a choice for her to put herself through, or how that all worked out.
Uh-huh. Well, it also may have been a financial. I should have kept her on the line and asked her. I apologize for that. Anyway, let's get Rob on the line. Rob's calling us from Miami.
Hi, I'm just calling because I'm a 24-year-old student, you know, post-college student, and I have student loans to pay off. And in today's society, you know, 30 is the new 20, we're not living in a society today where most people think of 18, you're out the door, it's over. You know, college is $50,000+ a year if you go to a private school. That's a huge burden of responsibility to put on somebody when they graduate college to have to be paying off those loans, you know, $500, sometimes $1,000 a month, you know, if you didn't finance it right, which a lot of people who take out student loans without the help of their parents have to do. And, you know, if the parents want to help out, I think it's the parents' choice. And then you write columns such as this that, you know, somebody's parents might read, and then they get all worried that they're doing the wrong thing for their child, and all of a sudden, you know, they get cut off because they start second-guessing their decision, and then the child's left, you know, high and dry.
There's that annoyance we were looking for.
That's okay. I understand where you're coming from. I think student loans, I think, are separate from paying someone's rent, paying someone's utilities, giving them extra money on the side. The way I've always thought and the way I've been brought up is that, you know, parents are there, if they can, to help put you through school. And I understand that that's a huge burden. But then there are other places you can make sacrifices so that you're able to pay off as much as you can every month. I don't know that I agree with the 30 is the new 20 in the sense that if we keep saying things like that, then, you know, then 40 will become the new 20. And then when are we ever taking responsibility for ourselves?
I mean, the average age of marriage today is, I believe, 32 years old. Before, it was 19 years old. Obviously, the generation gap has changed, and the way we're raised is differently. You know, you have these, you call them, I guess, helicopter hover parents.
Mm-hmm.
But what's wrong with the help of a parent if they're willing to provide it? I'm not saying that they should pay every bill that you have, but if they want to throw you, you know, half your month's rent and help you build a savings because they can, what's wrong with the fact that when I hit 30, I'm going to have a savings thanks to my parents, and I'm going to be able to back off of them when I'm ready to back off of them?
But that's the question. Will you be able to?
Of course.
I mean, that's where I foresee the problem is, you know, when you get to that age, is it that easy to just say, well, I've gotten support for you for the last 30 years, and now I'm on my own, and I'm 100% willing to be on my own?
Well, I think that most people at some point break off from the parents, but I think that, you know, that's a decision between the parent and the child. And when you write columns like this, it screws up the mental thoughts of a parent.
Well, listen, everyone can parent how they want to parent. I'm not here to tell them how. I'm just, you know, making commentary based on my experience with friends.
I commend you. I commend you for going to New York and living on your own. I think that's a great thing.
All right.
But, you know, I think that just you have to take in consideration other people's, you know.
Absolutely.
Rob, good luck with the student loans.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. We're talking with Melody Serafino, who wrote an article in this week's issue of Newsweek magazine about college graduates who are supported financially by their parents. True adulthood, she said, begins with financial independence. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Jameson. Jameson with us from Salem in Oregon.
Hi, I like what I hear. I am a parent of 5 kids. My oldest is almost 17, and I count it as my great responsibility to train them to be adults, to train them to be independent of me. I am very involved in their lives. We homeschool. They work for me. You know, not all of them yet, but I mean, this is the vision that we're promoting, is we're not cutting them loose now. To let the world guide them or media culture guide them or the public schools to guide them. We're wanting to train them not to extend their childhood or adolescence into their 30s, but to train them to be responsible adults so that when they graduate from high school, then they can negotiate some issues here. Do they want more education? Do they want to help us pay rent? Do they just want to work more? Do they want to do mission work? And we're going to help support that. Either way, we expect them to be responsible adults when they graduate from high school.
All right. Jameson, thanks for the call. I think you're driving, so be careful out there, okay?
I am. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for the phone call. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. Philip. Philip with us from Columbia, South Carolina.
How you doing today, sir?
All right.
You know, I think your parents or whoever can kind of step in and help you if they feel that this, the correct thing is the right thing to do. And, you know, I fell on my face in my first career, and I had to redirect. And, you know, I ended up moving back into the house twice. And, you know, from that point, I lifted myself out and became a senior vice president of a large financial institution. But if my parents weren't there to help me, I was in two situations where I was going to end up on the street.
I'm not sure that that's what Melody was talking about, not the situation where, as you say, you fell flat on your face and needed to move back into your home, but the situation where you're out on your own and a lifestyle you probably couldn't otherwise afford is subsidized by your parents.
Yeah, right. I think yours is...
Go ahead, please.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I think yours is sort of an extreme situation where maybe at that point in your life that's who you had to turn to, and I don't see a problem with that necessarily. What I see a problem with is kids who, or young people who can be on their own and can afford to be on their own and are perfectly capable of making those decisions and, you know, are in a circumstance where they're able to make those decisions on their own and yet are still going back to their parents for every little financial need.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't be doing that at all. But, you know, they had to decide the second time if, you know, they were going to allow me to come back or, here, I'm kind of in limbo. It's like, I've got no money in the bank. I've got no credit. I've got nowhere to go. And finally, they kind of said, okay, come on back. And yeah, I restarted my career and redirected. And like I said, I'm a millionaire now.
I hope some of that money has gone back to your parents.
Well, I do contribute to NPR.
Oh, well, good.
And I do help take care of my mother.
All right, Philip, thanks very much for the phone call and appreciate it. And if let's hope that was the last time you have to move back in.
Thank you very well now. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. And Melody Serafino, we appreciate your time today, too.
Thank you so much.
Melody Serafino's column, Subsidized in the City, appears in this week's issue of Newsweek magazine. She joined us from our bureau in New York. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the benefits and the risks of prisoner swaps, that following Israel's exchange last week of 5 Lebanese prisoners in exchange for the bodies of 2 Israeli soldiers. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.